Wow, so beautiful this morning. I'm so happy that you are here. We love you and we are thankful to be able to worship God together with you this morning. We are just getting into this series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we are camping out here at the mountain. Maybe you've heard the story before of the preacher who decided to play hooky on Sunday. He decided that he was going to skip out and go out into the mountains, go out and do some hiking, some camping, and some hunting. And he felt good about it. He felt good about it until as he was out and had gun in hand and was in the middle of this great time, he fell and injured himself, and his gun fell away from him. And right in that same moment, he saw a bear off in the distance that was starting to come towards him, was traveling towards him. And of course, he thought to himself, you know, if I'd been at church, right? The preacher had been at church, but he began to pray, and he knew, God, I should have been at church today, but if you'll just hear this one prayer, please answer this one prayer. Would you please turn this bear into a Christian? Sounds like a strange prayer, doesn't it? But it was in the heat of the moment, and he prays this prayer desperately, and the bear stops barreling towards him, just shy of him, and gets down on his hands and his knees and folds his hands in prayer and says, Lord, I thank you for this meal that you've prepared for me. Man, y'all sure like it when preachers get hurt. I'm like, come on. We are glad that you are here. We are thankful for this great sermon of Jesus that's so important. The message of the Sermon on the Mount is probably some of the most important teaching that we have of Jesus. Even people who may not be believers have heard many of the portions of this sermon because it's such a signature of the teaching of Christ, and it's such a signature of the DNA of what it means to be a part of Christ's people and a part of His very real and very abiding kingdom here on earth. I do. We are talking today about the blessings coming here in the Beatitudes. Next 2 weeks, we will be looking at this, the blessings. And I do have a video, as Lance mentioned earlier this morning, that our youth made, and I want that to be played at this time. So here's our youth.
Blessed are the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful,
for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart,
for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
All right, so the youth just did that. We're going to participate in that in just a moment. One of the things I want to encourage you, if you have like to have a digital presence or a digital footprint, something you can do the next couple of weeks, and I'll try to share some of these, but we'll share these online as well. If you have a picture or you want to share a way that being a part of the Hillcrest family has blessed your life, a way that God has blessed your life, would you use the hashtag blessed at Hillcrest? We have one here that Erica Pye did, the way that some of her small group family and her Bible class have blessed her life. But if you'd like to share that online, on Facebook, on Instagram, something like that, and just put hashtag blessed at Hillcrest, it could be a way to let somebody know the way that God has used this church, or let somebody know that's a member of this church how they've made a difference in your life, and tag it with hashtag blessed at Hillcrest. For those of you who prefer not to do things online, we're going to engage in this text right now with a little bit of a responsive reading, which really very naturally flows from the Beatitudes. So let's do this together. I put this on the back of your sermon notes. I know that's what you always grab for as soon as you get to church, first thing. On the back of the sermon notes, I have a responsive reading, or if you want to look on the screen, you're going to be reading the part on screen that's in blue. It's bolded on your sermon notes there. But let's read the Beatitudes together right now. I will do the lead here and invite all of you to give the response there that's in bold. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. It's interesting that Jesus would open his sermon in this way. By repeating this statement over and over again, blessed, blessed, blessed. And it's kind of perplexing, isn't it, to hear that word applied in a language that in a lot of ways is, well, let's be honest, we usually don't associate words like poor or words like mourning or sorrow or certainly words like hungry and thirsty or persecuted. And think to ourselves, now that's what I need. Probably it's very rare for you to pray a prayer to God and say, God, here's the blessings that I want to thank you for, or God, here's the blessings that I want to invite you to bring into my life. It's peculiar language, isn't it? It's a peculiar way for Jesus to start this message as he has this crowd that's gathered. Internally, he has the disciples, but he also has on the fringe of the crowd as well those who may be skeptical of Jesus or those who have been healed by Jesus or have heard of His healing or have heard about Him. And so they too have assembled there at this mountain scene and they're listening to the teacher teach. And a variety of people are there in the crowds and Jesus pronounces on them. And this is what's also wonderful about Scripture. There's also this language in Jesus that goes beyond His first hearers that's speaking to the church community. So whenever those first generation Christians, later whenever Matthew and the other disciples would write these things down, these great teachings of Jesus, and they would reflect on some of the sermons and some of the things that Jesus imparted to them, and imagine the first church, the first century church, hearing these words spoken over them, and certainly you have gathered in those community of believers, those who the hearing words like poor in spirit or meek or persecuted is not just something as a red letter in their text, but very much a daily part of what they have to face and deal with. It's kingdom language that we're hearing here. Whenever we hear these words of Jesus ringing out this pronounced declaration of the blessing of God upon this gathered community. It seems like we need to kind of redeem or reframe this word as well, because we do live in a hashtag blessed society where this is attached to all kinds of things. Maybe you got, those of you who are students, maybe whatever was on the cafeteria menu today happened to be a home run. It was pizza day at school. And so, boy, we are blessed today. We got pizza. We can go all the way from that. Or later today, I promise that this is probably something we'll see. It's the kickoff of the NFL football season. There's going to be someone who will score a touchdown and they will kneel or they'll post later today on their Instagram or something like that and say, I was hashtag blessed today by how many points our team scored. And I know you're all rooting for the Texans and we're all going to have hashtag blessed there, right? When they win today. But Jesus means something a little bit more than just those kinds of surface blessings. We see here the soul work that the kingdom is reaching for, the heart work that the kingdom is going at. Beyond surface pleasure, beyond surface happiness, which is one of the words that we could use here to translate this Blessed, happiness. Happy are those. Joyful are those. I don't know about you, but I'm not really good at taking pictures. I'm not really good at selfies, but my daughter is fantastic at it. She probably can do, I don't know, about 100 photos a day, right? Just selfies, and just pick out the very best ones. And she can smile and light it up, and it looks great. She's so good at it that even her dog has an Instagram. You can go to Shadow of Gold, and he is blowing up the internet, okay? He is phenomenal at taking pictures, and he looks great. And I'm telling you, even her dog is better at smiling in pictures than I am. I can relate a little bit more to this next photo here on the left. That's how I often look in pictures. There's something interesting to notice just in the history here behind our artwork or our photography. You see a very old picture on the left here, and that's pretty much a common expression, isn't it, in old photography? You see a modern family on the right hand side there, a more contemporary expression. And if you're going to take a picture as a family, what is the photographer saying on the right side? Say what? Say cheese. You know what they're saying on the left? In the old days, they said, say prunes. I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. They would purge their lips. For them, the tight-lipped look was more refined. Or maybe more real, because you don't have to try to hold a fake smile. But we live in a time of illusion. We live in a time where we want it to seem like things are looking, that we've got our lives together, that we have, my life is a good life, my life is a happy life, and so we try to project that, don't we? We see ads on TV and we live in a selfie world, don't we? We live in a selfie society so that presence that's put out there is my life is good and I can fill in all the reasons why. Because I've got all these things. Because I'm living the American dream. And so my life is filled because I can do whatever I want and I can have whatever I want. But behind those surface smiles, the reality is often what? We have people who feel empty inside. Where joy is lacking. Where their hearts are heavy and burdened because of a variety of unmet desires that are in their soul. That are in their heart. That are in their life. When we come into the Beatitudes here, Jesus opens up His sermon by speaking us into the reality of the reign of God. And the reign of God is good news for those who believe, isn't it? It is a blessing to be able to hear these words declared and spoken over all those who long for this coming from our Savior, Jesus, isn't it? We're a blessed community. Notice the language again. Go back to the text there in Matthew in the Beatitudes. And notice the statement there. You'll see this in verse 3 and in verse 10, a phrase that is repeated. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have bracketing the Beatitudes here. Bracketing the 8 statements of blessing is an opening and a closing here in verse 10 that repeats this idea that what's happening is that this group, this people, these followers of Jesus are being transformed and being made a part of. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, when you think about the Beatitudes, you probably think about your own life, but this is community language, isn't it? This is we language. This is together language. You may not have all these things together in your life. Sometimes it may be a struggle for you to feel blessed whenever you're persecuted. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I really haven't had to deal with a lot of persecutions. I'm able to live my life. And we are. We're blessed in the free nation that we live in. We're blessed to be able to assemble on days like today, to be able to sing and worship and lift up the name of Jesus and not have to worry about violence waiting outside these doors when we leave here. But for the church at large, that we are part of a family, and the reality is we have in the community of believers that this is a real identity for the body of Christ and for the kingdom. And the beautiful thing about this too is where you or I may be lacking in different areas, together we represent this blessed community, and we're able to bring together the wholeness of the kingdom of God in our lives as we walk to follow Jesus. The blessed community together, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The language of Jesus is astounding here. Presently we are blessed. Why? Because we have God. We are in His kingdom. We are blessed. If you have nothing else to be able to celebrate today, you can lift up and celebrate, I belong to God. God is with us, and so I am blessed. And I have this joy that comes from that present reality. Then we also have this joy from not only am I His and He is mine, for God to be able to say, they are mine, but we also have the will statement there. Blessed are, for they will. Here's the will that will happen. Blessings of deliverance because the kingdom of God is happening. Church, the kingdom of God is happening now. And from different moments, we can see some of the rays of light start to break through the darkness. And the church needs to be able to rise up and say, there is the kingdom. Here is the kingdom happening. God is able to declare over His kingdom, over His people, they are mine, and I will deliver them. Even today, struggles in your life, God is present. God will deliver because His kingdom is real. And God's kingdom will reign forever. Jesus calls us into this blessing. We don't deserve it, do we? None of us deserve it. These aren't deserved blessings. They are blessings of grace. It's interesting that the first sermon that Jesus preaches in His hometown of Nazareth, that's recorded in Luke chapter 4, you have Jesus taking the scroll and He reads from Isaiah. And you hear that language from the prophet Isaiah of rescue and deliverance. Rescue and deliverance for those who are poor. Rescue and deliverance and healing for those who are blind. Rescue and deliverance for those who are in need. And then after Jesus reads that text and He sits down amongst His hometown people and He says, this message has been fulfilled in your presence today. And then we have this statement. Go ahead and turn the slides there. Go to verse 22. In 4 verse 22, after He has read the scroll and after He has made the statement, today it is fulfilled in your hearing. The people's response. They heard His words, they spoke well of Him and were amazed at His gracious words, or literally, these words of grace. When we read in Scripture about a God who is going to deliver, when we read in Scripture about a God who is coming to the aid of the hurting, when we read in Scripture about a God who is bringing healing and hope and salvation, we are hearing about and reading about a God who is bringing His grace into our world. They heard His message, they heard His sermon, they heard His word saying, and it's being fulfilled in their hearing that day. And they said, Those gracious words, those words of grace that came from Jesus' lips. Surely none of us reach for this text and say, God, I thank you that you recognize that I earned these blessings. But all of us are able to bow before God and say, God, I thank you so much that in spite of myself, you have given these blessings by your grace. You know what I love about this? You know what I love about this blessing language, and what I love about our God who has this good news of bringing the reign of His kingdom into our world, starting with our hearts, with your heart and my heart and all the hearts of believers, that transforming work of what He's doing is, how is it that we get there? How is it that we are able to participate in this? If it's a work of grace, if we're saved by grace, then what is God wanting from us? But do you not hear this calling that Jesus is sending out in this sermon? As Jesus answers the question of what is God doing in the world emphatically and saying, He is blessing. We look and see the hurting that's going on. We look and see lives that have been torn apart, relationships that are strained. And some people rise up and say, where is God in the midst of this? What is God doing in a broken world? What is God doing with the people who are hurting? And Jesus is able to say, He is blessing. And the gracious invitation for all those who would follow Him is to share and participate in blessing other lives by the blessings that Jesus has given you. When God begins to change your heart, He has begun a work that empowers you to help other people. Do you believe that? If you've been touched by the blessings of God throughout the years of your following Jesus, it's not just for you. It's a wonderful thing to be able to experience, but it's incomplete until we are taking that and sharing it in other people's lives so that the hands that God has used to bless our lives, we now offer and open up our hands to do the very same for those who are around us. Not because they deserve it, but because God has given it and I want to share in it. I wish that everyone could know the way that God has used them to bless other people's lives. It happens in small ways that is often unseen by the world. It happens in ways that make all the difference. I'm going to share just one story with you from my own life. Whenever I was very young, about in the second grade, I was very, very shy. Very, very shy. And so much so that whenever I was in school, I didn't want to mess up in front of anybody. And when the teacher went around and was calling on students to read aloud, that terrifying moment, right? I just froze and I wouldn't say anything. And my teacher would say, Nathan. And I would just shut my mouth. And I was so fearful and anxious that my teacher thought maybe I had a learning disability. And she sent me to the principal's office. Which nothing takes away your fears as a child than to be sent to the principal's office. Especially to be sent to Mr. Neal's office, because Principal Neal had an electric paddle. All the kids knew that. I don't know how we get these things, but Mr. Neal had an electric paddle. That's what everybody said. I went into Mr. Neal's office and I sat down, and he came and he sat down right beside me, and he opened up a book. And I remember him having his arm around me and pointing at a line and asking me to read. And I read what he said. And he patted me on the shoulder and he said, you're just fine. I didn't know whenever I was a small child what I was experiencing in that moment. Later I learned that Mr. Neal was a Christian. And growing up in a small town, I was able to watch him not only affect children's lives and my life with those seem like small blessings, but Mr. Neal doesn't even know that the little boy who wouldn't read then is the one who preaches every week now, right? won't be quiet. But I watched as the years went by too, and I saw him not just bless children's lives, but I also watched him as he was the husband who in later years, in retired years, cared for his ailing wife. And he approached it the very same sweet, quiet, gentle, loving way. And you can see the blessings of Jesus, these attributes of the Spirit, these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit at work in one person's life. But what we have that's so wonderful in the kingdom of God is one after another of people who have been blessed by God and empowered by God to then go into a world that the greatest need that our world has and the greatest way that we're going to change it is to allow God's gracious work to move from our hearts and our lives to those that are around us. That's how Jesus is able to say these words, and it's not just fluff. It's reality. It's already happening when Jesus is preaching it. He doesn't just say the words, He's living the words. And the church is called not just to hear these words, but to experience and live the blessing as well. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment, and we normally have a time where we will all stand, and if someone has a need for prayer or if there's someone who has yet to put their faith in Jesus Christ and be baptized and become a Christian, we always want to offer that opportunity. But I want us to add something this morning, and I do want to go ahead and call you to stand right now, but I want you to stand and listen. Go ahead and stand. There may be some sitting with us this morning who are hearing these words, and we're talking about blessing, but it may be that blessing is not what they are feeling in their life today, and you may not even know the needs that are on their heart this morning. And they may not be the ones who feel called or led to be able to come and stand in front of this crowd. But they may need you to be the one to put your arm or your hand on them today. And even when you don't know exactly what you can be doing for someone, can I tell you that one of the best ways that you can bless somebody's life is just to pray for them? And so I want to encourage, if there's someone around you, if you are someone right now, I want to encourage you to sit. If you are needing prayer, if you are needing encouragement, you don't have to come up front right now. We're going to have Otis lead the song in just a moment. And you don't feel led to come forward this morning, but you do feel the need. Just sit right where you're at. And those who are standing around you, I want you to pray over them or to encourage them. Just be with them right now. Right now, if you have that need, Otis, will you go ahead and lead us in song? And if you be watchful, those of us who are around, find those who may be sitting and needing prayer this morning.